Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace. Amen. This little story from the life of Elijah is one that has stuck with me. I don't know if it's as well known as the story of Elijah being carried away into heaven in a fiery chariot, or of Isaiah's vision of God in the temple where a burning coal is pressed against his lips and he is given the words of God to speak. It's certainly not as well known as the story of Jesus walking on the water toward the disciples' boat in the middle of a storm. Even people who don't know much else about the stories of the Bible know that Jesus walked on water. But this little story about Elijah hiding out in a cave on the mountain, well, it's captured my imagination. I suppose if someone were to ask me about my favorite stories from the Bible, this one would be in the top five. Maybe it's because it happens on a mountain. Mountains have always been for me symbols of strength and refuge, awesomeness and beauty. Maybe it's because of the almost tangible contrast between a wind and an earthquake and a fire and a sound of sheer silence. Or maybe it's the question that God asks Elijah, not once but twice. What are you doing here, Elijah? Indeed, what is Elijah doing in a cave on a mountain? It's not always easy to discern from the short passages that we get on Sunday morning readings. But in this story, Elijah is in a self-imposed timeout. He's literally run away from everything and hid himself in a cave. And there's good reason, as we hear. I know there are times when I've wanted to run away and hide. And yet God has a way of finding us even in our hiding places. What are you doing here? God asks. There are stories in the Bible that bring comfort and peace. Like the stories of Jesus feeding the masses or healing a person blind or crippled or bleeding. Jesus giving justice to the unfairly accused, like the so-called woman caught in the act of adultery. These are stories that remind us of God's love for us, all of us. There are stories of awesome acts of God, like the creation or the flood or the crossing of the Red Sea or the resurrection of Jesus. There are stories that inspire us, like Ruth, who refuses to leave her mother-in-law but becomes an immigrant for the sake of friendship and dedication to family. And there are stories of conviction, like Paul, who reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yet nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Elijah's story, this story of a cave and a mountain and an earthquake and a wind and God's voice, this story is one of persistence, perseverance in a time when all hope seemed lost. Perhaps we need a story like Elijah's now more than ever. Elijah lived in a time of Israel's history that was rife with political chaos and division, huge disparity between the wealthy and the poor, religious ambivalence, and a lot of cynicism. Sound familiar? Elijah's day was not that dissimilar to our own. The people of Elijah's time had become arrogant and egotistical. They were dismissive of any sort of criticism. They trusted only in their own personal freedom and independence. But Elijah's was a voice of trust in God. In the trust of God, who had said that the way to be great was to welcome the stranger and the immigrant, to look out for the well-being of the neighbor before yourself, and to share what you have even with those who don't deserve it. As you can imagine, Elijah's was not a very popular voice. In today's world, he and his liberal ways would be summarily dismissed by certain media outlets. And thus the reason for Elijah's flight into the hills and a night spent in a cave where he thought no one could find him. But like I said, this story is about persistence. God does find Elijah. And God does question him, "What, Elijah, are you doing here? What, pray tell, is there possibly for you to do here in this cave on the side of a mountain? What good can come from you being here?" As usual, God doesn't beat around the bush. God doesn't indulge Elijah's despondent pouting. God gets straight to the point. God has given Elijah a mission, a calling, and Elijah has abandoned it for his own sense of doubt and indignation. But God will not let that stand. "I've done everything you asked me to, God. I stood up to the authority and the power and everyone who thought that they knew what was best. I told them they'd abandoned their trust in the covenant of the Lord. I told them that they couldn't succeed unless they took care of the vulnerable and granted justice to the oppressed. But they're out to kill me, God. They're going to take me out just like they do with anyone who dares to say the things that I've said." And that's when God simply tells Elijah to go outside and stand on the face of the mountain. "The Lord is about to pass by," God says to Elijah. And it's in this moment that I find the wonder and mystery of this little story to be so compelling. Because like everyone else, I would love it if God would come into the world in the mighty power of an earthquake. One that split the mountains and broke rocks into pieces. Not that people's lives should be threatened or homes and communities destroyed, but for God's sake, wouldn't it be great if God made that kind of statement against all that is wrong in today's world? But God is not in the earthquake. Well, then what about the wind? What if rather than toppling trees and wiping out coastal beaches, a wind from God were to knock out all of those who do evil in the world and strip away the corruption and crime that plagues the world? Wouldn't it be great if God would blow all the pain and hurt and destruction right out of this world? But God is not in the wind. Okay, fire. I would think that God could burn away this plague of COVID and every other disease like cancer or dementia. Why doesn't God just cleanse the world like fire cleanses the forest? But God is not in the fire. Elijah hears all of these things, and none of them bring him to the mouth of the cave and into the presence of God. Only a sound that isn't a sound at all draws Elijah out of his self-imposed fear and isolation and into an audience with the voice that will bring justice and hope. Have you ever heard silence? Silence is not something that most of us are comfortable with. Ironically, we'd rather the rumble of the earthquake or the roar of the fire than silence. Silence reveals our vulnerabilities. Silence renders us powerless. Our world instead is a noisy place. Our world is full of the sound of our own striving for what we think will bring us comfort and security. Rather than listen for God's voice, we make our own noise longing for an answer, our own persistent noise that we think will change the world. But earthquakes and wind and fire will not persuade the powers to forsake their ways and turn to justice and hope. Self-righteousness and powerful arguments and immovable walls of violence, these will not grant security and comfort. Battle hymns, pledges of allegiance, and even eloquent sermons, I'm afraid, will not grant the rest that we all seek, even in our own cave on the side of the mountain. Only a sound that is not a sound at all. A persistent sound of God. Peace. Nonviolence. Silent solidarity with friends and enemies alike. A refusal to return hate for hate. A simple touch that communicates a bond of trust. A hand of one walking on the water that reaches out to us even as we slip between the waves. These are the sounds of justice and hope, security, comfort, and rest. They don't magically and majestically bring down the powerful or wipe away evil. Even for Elijah, there were difficult, treacherous days ahead. But God's promise of deliverance gave Elijah strength to face those days and more. And God's promise will deliver us too. There are many stories in the Bible that tell grand tales of miracles and awesome wonders. Those are good stories to tell one another. Those are stories that we need to hear often. But sometimes it's a simple story of our own fear and uncertainty that tells us most about our trust in God. These are the stories that stick with me.